Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Our producer today, Frosty.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. My allergies are kind of bugging me a little bit. I feel like a raccoon.
Well, your eyes are all swollen up, so, you know, don't rub your eyes.
It's hard not to.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, everybody seems to really be affected by allergies. Just standing in line, people, you know. So, it'll pass.
What do they do when they're standing? Okay.
You know, it's either sniffing or snorting or something like that. I also, good morning.
Good morning.
What's my call sign?
It's soulmates here on the 31st of March. We're getting ready to start April.
Okay. Just a reminder again, the celebration of dance this weekend. If you are wondering, okay, what are we doing with our Saturday and Sunday? There's a matinee on April 4th, 2 and 7, and April 3rd at 7 p.m. performance. That's exposed. Now, you might have heard about this. I'm not sure, but thought this was kind of cute. In Painesville, Ohio, some water customers had pink water coming out of their faucets. What do you think it was?
Pink water. I don't know.
Well, one of the department heads of the department said it was the system was flushed, had to be flushed, obviously. The malfunction involved a chemical feeder that released too much potassium permanganate, something like that, which is used for taste and odor control. Is that gross or what?
Well, I've been in a lot grosser places than that. I mean, pink, at least if you can see through it. I mean, I've been in places where when it hit your body, it just stuck to you. It was so thick.
I mean, you know, that just kind of depicts why some people turn their nose up to tap water. I mean, these days I just kind of drink tap water. If it's available and I need water, I just drink it. But when there's something added to it for taste and odor control, then that grosses me out.
Well, you know, it's...
But I'll take it if I need it.
Well, you know, one of the things we're going to start every week is a fitness tip of the week, too. And we're getting ready to come out for the summer. And our...
Speaking of potassium.
Yeah, and our fitness guru, Joe Adamson.
Oh, good morning.
Adamson's Peak Performance. Joe, what's your tip?
How you doing?
Fine. Good morning.
Hey, what's your tip?
Well, I wanted to talk about how to set fitness goals successfully.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. Well, setting a goal in a fitness program, it may be the difference between success and failure. So a lot of people don't know how to set goals. So it's really important that when you determine what your goals are, that you establish a reasonable timeline for reaching them, and that those goals they're reasonable, they're not ridiculous, they're achievable. You know, you can actually capably get to them at some point, and that you can measure them. So set yourself up for success, not to fail again. And goals that are like that are going to take, you know, some goals may take a considerable time. That's okay. But if that's the case, break that down into a series of smaller goals or smaller steps.
Fabulous.
Well, my first goal was to do a push-up.
There you go.
Well, you know, in the sedentary, stress-filled world that we live in, it's great to have you call in, Joe, and just inspire people. Keep working out. Get off the couch. Do something to increase your health. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Hey, you're welcome, Linda. See you later, Carl.
All right.
This is News Talk 1400 KQMS.
We're going to get to our guest when we get back, but also to our caller. So, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Robert Logan, attorney at law. Phone number is 241-0126. Bankruptcy, civil, criminal court cases. Rob will go to the mat for you. Gary.
Good morning, Linda and Carl.
Good morning, Gary.
I want to encourage everyone to be patriotic and buy GM's newest car, the Acorn. It's designed and assembled by squirrels, financed and warrantied by nuts, and costs peanuts. You think we're in a shell game?
I think that I've got some serious questions when the President of the United States fires somebody from a private company. But then again, if they were successful, they wouldn't have to worry about that, would they?
Well, GM has the initials are right. The name is different. It's now called Government Motors.
Oh, my.
Thanks a lot, Gary.
Have a great day. Thanks for a great show. Bye.
Hey, thanks a lot, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Clever.
Yeah. You know, our guest today, speaking of a great show, let's talk about a great American, too.
Absolutely.
Our guest today is Commander Jim Gibson, head of the Cuttlefish group here in the North State, and he's going to explain what that is and something that's going to happen this weekend. So, Commander, welcome aboard.
Thank you very, very much, Colonel. I'm just happy to be here to explain Cuttlefish Base. It is a group of submarine veterans. We were established in 2000. We spin off the United States Submarine Veterans Incorporated, which was also a spinoff of the WW2, the true heroes of the submarine force, who, thanks to them and the start of the World War II, they were the first line of defense, as are a lot of our submariners today, who are, again, unsung heroes, spending 90 days at sea and getting home for 30 over and over and over again. That's the modern one. When I was in, it was the diesel submarines. We'd go for 6 months, not at all at sea, but we were there.
Okay, now, there is going to be a memorial dedicated this weekend.
Yes, we're going to dedicate a monument and a memorial out at the Veterans Cemetery in Igo. It'll start at 11 o'clock. We're just hoping a lot of people show up and honor these submarine veterans.
This memorial has been put together by a number of people that have helped with this. And one of them was, I believe, Outdoor Creations.
That's right. Scott Pullman's family, including his father and mother and Dina and little Sammy, they are quite interesting people. They put in monuments in Anderson. They did the one in the Veterans Grove. And now Scott was a primary designer and builder of our monument, and we are very much indebted to him and his wonderful company.
Now, submarines, people, you know, think of submarines, you know, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea and all these that you see. But I think the submarine started in, like, 1900, I think you were telling me?
Yeah, 1900, Holland got the first contract for an American submarine. There was a submarine in the United States before that, back in 1860s, the CSS Hunley, the Confederate submarine, which actually sunk the USS Hispaniola, but also sunk themselves.
Well, I understand it's the Hunley. When I was reading the history of that, they sunk themselves three or four times, too.
Yeah, they went through three different crews, and incidentally, it was just raised, and then a wonderful outfit here, Recreators, brought a replica of the Hunley to Reading, and a lot of us got to get down there and see it, and it's quite interesting if you sit in it and thought you might turn the propeller by hand.
Well, you know, I did look at it, and I thought to myself, now, these gentlemen probably had to have a little bit bigger seats because of the cojones that it took to, you know, driving this thing under the water.
You were mentioning how many submarines have been built since 1900.
Well, we're over 400. 300 and some were built in during the war. 52 submarines didn't come back, and 3,500 men.
Well, that's a and since then, you know, we start talking about the nuclear subs. Now, these things have the capacity. I mean, they go out and stay underwater for, I mean, a lot longer than 90 days if they had to.
Yeah, it's food and morale is what would limit them. Reactor, I can't talk current, but I know when I was active, the reactor was good for 7-8 years.
And yeah, absolutely. In fact, those reactors are big enough to run a small city for a long time.
You bet.
I understand that.
Now, Commander Gibson, you were talking about the event on Saturday and that you were reaching across to some of the high schools and children that will be involved in this.
Well, this is one thing that we are very, very strong about, helping young people learn history, be a part of history. So we have taken the NJROTC kids from Enterprise down to the Pompanito, the diesel submarine tour boat in Fisherman's Wharf. We're going to use the NJROTC to present the colors that Saturday out at the cemetery. Two young, fine young trumpet players from Parsons are going to play taps and the echo.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here. This is Carl in the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Commander Jim Gibson, heads up the Cuttlefish Society here. And, you know, what a great group of the gentlemen these men are. News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley got the finest tobacco emporium in California. And Espresso Joe's is where you get the coffee of your choice at great prices. Go and see Shelley. They support our community.
Our special guest today is from the Cuttlefish Base, Commander Gibson. Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me on today.
Now, what's this that you were discussing at our break about the exchange program?
Well, we are doing scholarships they aren't great amounts, but we're doing scholarships for Shasta College and Butte College. Our goal in all this are the young people. If we don't help the young people today, it's just like out at our thing Saturday morning at the event. We want to see young people so that we can let them see history, let them hear about history. That's the only place I believe we're going to hear it in this day and age.
Well, you know, we need to pass on the heroism and the actions and just being able to speak to our heroes of the past, because you're absolutely right. It's, you know, what's being taught in our books does not truly reflect the courage and the dedication that our people have shown that have been in the military from throughout our history here.
Well, speaking of that, Carl, the submarine force in World War II had several Medal of Honor winners, three posthumously. One that's worthy of mention is Commander Gilmore. They were on the surface. They got hit by shell fire. He got terribly wounded. They're going to submerge the ship. The executive officer tried to take him down, and his comment was, "Take her down." They submerged with him on the deck.
Well, you know, he gave his life for his men.
Yes,
for something like that. You know, and that's what happens. We, you know, we discussed the Medal of Honor here last week, and it was the Medal of Honor, you know, Memorial Day, and how difficult it is to win that. But, you know, when you look at submarines, and if you've never been on one of those World War II vintage submarines, you need to go down and visit one, because you figure how many men would be in one of those?
86 men and 8 officers.
Okay, so, well, officers can be men too. I mean, sometimes, you know, they're asses.
I hope so.
Other times, you know. Anyway, yeah, so you have over 90 people in this.
I say nothing.
In this little bitty enclosed tube. And you think you don't like flying in airplanes?
311 feet, 11 inches, and one passageway.
Yeah, one passageway. And, you know, I can just imagine, you know, the water and the, you know, the food and the smoke, and because people would be smoking down there, you know, and the diesel's going back and forth. So there's a lot to be said about that.
The one thing about submarines, as long as we were near any place we could get food, we were fed unbelievably. We got extra pay, we got extra food, and sometimes a lot of extra work.
Well, the only thing is that, you know, when we talked about jumping and scuba diving, it's kind of the same thing. We get paid hazardous duty pay for that. They paid us less money to jump out of an airplane than it was to be a combat diver. And it's the same reason for the submarines. Is everything that leaves an airplane will hit the ground. Everything that goes below the surface doesn't necessarily come up.
Yeah, that's obvious. One thing, if we have a second, people often ask back when in the diesel submarines how long we'd been to sea. I've been to sea for 72 days. I've been submerged for 56 days, and that was in a diesel submarine where we had a snorkel, and we would function well till about the end of the sixth week when we run out of fresh food or fresh vegetables and so forth. But it was a wonderful service. It's still a wonderful service. The camaraderie Well, it's just like we have 42 members in our base, and we're like brothers.
Yeah. Okay, now.
We want to encourage you to go out this Saturday at 11 to just show your support of these heroes that have served our country, given their lives. It's going to be a beautiful monument dedicated in memory of the Cuttlefish Warriors.
And also all the submariners, before or since.
You know, Commander, thank you so much for coming today. And, you know, you're a vibrant member of our veteran community here, and we just appreciate everything that you do and your band of brothers does.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate that.
All right, this is Carl and the Bot. We're here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We get back, we've got another guest, plus a couple other things we do want to discuss. You know, starting with REU and my experience with them yesterday.
To Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only real watchmaker or watch repairman in Reading, and the experts in jewels and gems. Go check it out. Hey, our guest today.
Go for it.
Is Dr. David Nicholas, who is the professor of Bible and theology at Shasta Bible College, and you're here to talk about the 6th Annual Alpha Omega Conference. Wow.
Hey, this is something else. On creation and end-time prophecy.
End-time prophecy.
A lot of people are like thinking about end times right now with everything that's going on with our world.
You better believe it. Some unprecedented things are happening that we haven't seen before. Not only in America here, but throughout the world, and especially in the Middle East. And, of course, the Bible prophetically indicates to us that that the land of Israel really is important to God. And so we're going to focus on the land of Israel in this conference. We have some great speakers lined up. One of our professors at the college, where I serve as president as well as professor of Bible and theology, is Professor George Gunn. And he has just returned from Israel himself, leading a tour with some of our students over there. He was there for 2 weeks, and he'll be reporting on Israel, giving us an update on the scene politically and biblically as to what's happening over there and how it fits into Bible prophecy. And we also have coming as well Dr. Paul Benware, who has been professor of Bible at Moody Bible Institute. He was there for about 20-some years, and then he also taught at Philadelphia Biblical University in Philadelphia, and now is from Arizona Southwestern College. He'll be with us, and he is the author of about 7 books, several of them dealing with Bible prophecy. He has one entitled Understanding Bible Prophecy, and another one is called The Believer's Payday.
You know, one of the things I've been seeing lately is that the date 2012. Now, are you familiar with this one? I'm sure you are. But it's the end of all the calendars.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your take on this one there, Doctor?
Well, Jesus told us that no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. And so we can't really be date setters.
Uh-huh.
We can watch the signs of the times, and we can see what's happening prophetically. For example, in 1948, Israel was established as a nation once again after thousands of years. They returned to their homeland. David Ben-Gurion signed that charter with the United Nations, and since that time, they've been in the land. And the Bible said in the Old Testament they would return to the land. We believe this was the first step in the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and that someday, you know, eventually Christ is going to come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years.
Mm. Well, let's go to the phones right now. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
I know this is off the subject, but this is something we told you to call in about. We wanted the people to know.
Well, this Saturday, April 4th, we're going to ask real men in Shasta County to literally walk a mile in women's shoes. This is to support the Shasta Women's Refuge Rape Crisis and Intervention and Prevention Services, and to bring awareness to a very serious subject. In our country, every 90 seconds a woman is raped, and one out of every 6 women will be a victim of sexual assault some way. So this is an opportunity for the real men to come out, wear women's shoes. We ask high heels, but we know that some people can't do it. But wear women's shoes, walk a mile, and then we also ask them to raise some money for the Women's Refuge. We ask each of our walkers to to try and raise $100, and then we ask the families of our real men to walk with them to really bring awareness of the subject.
Okay, so how do people get a hold of you to sign up for this, if they haven't already?
You can call me, 222-0202. You can also call the Shasta County Women's Refuge to get information. You can go on the Women's Refuge website to get information. The registration will be at 8:30 a.m. in the morning, and then the walk actually starts at 10. We're going to be at the downtown, old downtown mall area, right beside the Shasta College will be the starting point, and we'll literally walk a mile around the downtown area.
Now, Ken Murray called in yesterday and said he was going to beat everybody on this walk. He said he's got fast legs.
Well, and that may be true. He also had a nice set of fishnet stockings last year, so
now's the time to pull him out.
A different presence. He was a big supporter last year, and I know he's a supporter this year.
Well, you know, we were talking about that yesterday, and the fact is that you know, he's probably so fast that maybe he's used to wearing these. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm not going there.
But I can. Anyway, yeah, Ken Murray has been a huge supporter, as have many other people. We really appreciate what you're doing here, Dave. And we need to bring the awareness out. We need to raise money because with what's going on with the economy, so much has been cut out of the money that goes to really good causes like this.
Yeah, very definitely. And unfortunately, one of the things that we see when the economy gets a little worse, we see sexual abuse increases.
Yeah.
So it is a great cause. Women's Refuge is the only real safe place for women that are being abused to get them separated from their abusers. So it's an important institution we keep open and keep functioning.
Absolutely. So we support that 100%.
Time and place again.
It's going to be this Saturday, April 4th, at the old downtown mall area right next to Shasta College. It's going to be registration at 8:30, and the event will start promptly at 10 a.m., rain or shine.
Okay, Dave. Hey, thank you so much for your phone call and for what you're doing for our community.
Thank you very much, guys. We appreciate it.
I wish we weren't going out of town. I just want to see Ken Murray in fishnet stockings.
I would, too.
I'm not going there.
Should we take a break and then come back with some fresh ideas?
Absolutely. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Portion of our show brought to you by New Image Studio, 2655 Park Marina. Dan and Julia, the finest photographers that we've had the honor to meet and to use their services. They are absolutely great. Dan and Julia, New Image Studios. Okay, our guest is Dr. David Nichols from the Shasta Bible College. One of the courses that is going to be taught, or one of the speakers, is talking about the age of the Earth.
Yes, this is Dr. Larry Vardaman, who has a PhD in atmospheric science and has been with the Institute for Creation Research for many, many years. He was the manager of the RATE project, Radioisotopes and the Age of the Earth. And this was a project funded with $1 million. To try to show that radiometric dating was not as accurate as scientists have thought all these years. And the results of this test, these tests that were done, they were independent tests. People who were doing the testing did not know these were creationist-sponsored tests. And the test came back in favor of a young Earth, and he has the evidence to show that.
Well, when you say young Earth, I can see where it could be a mistake, you know, thousands, but we're talking about a mistake in millions.
Millions and billions. I mean, some scientists, evolutionary scientists, say the Earth is billions of years old. And we say thousands, not billions.
How many thousands?
Well, the best estimate are 7 to 10,000 years.
So the Earth has been here for 7 to 10,000 years, where you've got evolutionary, or people with the Darwin side, say, no, it's been a million years.
Millions or billions of years.
There's a big difference there.
Because you can't depend on the results of radioactive dating.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Vardaman will explain that, explain why there's deficiency in this type of dating.
Well, that could be interesting.
And he's also going to address global warming.
Oh, okay. Is the fact that there is global warming or not global warming?
He will say that there is global warming, but that it's cyclical, and he'll show you why. Because he has scientific data to back that up, too, in contrast to what Al Gore tells us.
Well, you know, it seems like there's a growing number of scientists that are starting to dispute the idea of global warming being something that mankind has caused, that it's a cycle, you know, it comes through in cycles. However, there still is the vast preponderance of the scientists out there seem to agree that we are raising the temperature of the Earth.
Well, have you seen the movie Expelled?
No, I haven't.
With Ben Stein?
No, I haven't. But then again, I didn't see Gore's movie either.
You ought to see Expelled with Ben Stein because it shows that there is a deliberate conspiracy to eliminate people who are scientists who believe in intelligent design or who believe that there is no global warming.
What is RATE, R-A-T-E?
Radioisotopes in the Age of the Earth.
Okay, because
it's
it says...
an acronym for that.
Right, it says that Dr. Vardaman will update us on the impact of RATE and recent evidence relating to the current global warming hysteria from both a scientific and biblical perspective.
Right.
And how about Dr. Baker?
Dr. Mace Baker is a specialist in the area of dinosaurs. I was with my 11-year-old grandson today, talking to him about that this morning as I took him to school. And he wants to come to the conference. He says, I want to know about dinosaurs.
Yes.
And so he has written a book on the real history of dinosaurs. And he's a former public school teacher. And he is a specialist in analyzing textbook evolution, you know, versus the facts of science. And so he's going to be presenting evidence for the fact that dinosaurs roamed the earth along with men at one time. And he'll also talk about human origins.
Interesting.
Did we really come from, you know, from one-celled beings, from the slime of some marsh somewhere?
Or Adam and Eve.
Yeah, Adam and Eve.
Or something like that.
Right.
We'd say Adam and Eve because the Bible says that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a nephesh shayim, or a living soul. And that's how the Bible says man came about. God fashioned man from the dust of the ground. And then he breathed life into him. And man has never been able to recreate that life.
Let's go to the phones here. We're changing the subject. Jim, good morning.
Yeah, Carl, I was just in there. I'm sure sorry. I forgot to mention the Exchange Club, who has been absolutely helpful in our quest to dedicate this monument on Saturday. They are going to put up tents for us in case it's bad weather or too much sun. And another man, Ken Snyder, who works out there as a volunteer, has just gone overboard to help us. And I was absolutely negligent that I didn't mention these.
You left us notes for that, and we were going to get to that. But thank you so much for calling back to let the people know who's helping you put this on.
I just couldn't let it go. I just felt so bad.
Okay.
Well, don't feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
Thank you so much. Everyone's appreciative. Thank you.
You know, here's the thing that I can get into on this is that when we start talking, I look at evolution and in the sense that when if you look at what the Bible says, 6 days, rested on the seventh, how long is a day? You get into the existential, part of it. You get into quantum physics and all these different aspects of where did we come from? How did we get here? And, how old is the earth? And my biggest question, though, is why isn't there room for two viewpoints? You know, scientists say there is no room for creationist thinking in the schools, and the creationists saying there's no room for evolution in the schools. You know, I don't see. I think somebody said that one time was, why can't we have both there until people can make up their mind?
The creationists are willing to see evolution taught because they know they have the facts on their side, so they don't mind evolution being taught as a theory. That's what it is, a theory. But then again, the Bible says in Exodus 20:11. For in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them. And the Hebrew word for day is yom. And whenever yom is used in Scripture, with exception of chapter 2, where it's obviously speaking in figurative terms, yom means consistently a solar day or a 24-hour day. Mm-hmm. And so you got to choose between the Bible or man's subjective ideas, that are really hypothetical.
That's true.
Evolution never has been any more than a theory. It's a hypothesis. But people have tried to make it a fact. It's not a fact.
Our guest today is Dr. David Nicholas, who is the president of the Shasta Bible College, and they are having a
conference on creation,
and it's the sixth annual
Alpha Omega Conference on Creation and End Time Prophecy.
And it's going to start tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on the campus of Shasta Bible College. And then in the evening, we'll be at Grace Baptist Church for two evening sessions. On Thursday evening, we're going to be at First Baptist Church of Reading on Eureka Way. And then Friday evening, back again to Grace Baptist Church.
Well, thank you.
On Churn Creek Road.
Any closing thoughts?
Let me say I appreciate your program. It's a delight to meet you in person.
Thank you.
And I listen to Free Fire Radio myself on Saturdays and during the mornings as I drive to work.
Thank you.
So I appreciate what you folks do, and thank you for allowing us to be in the program.
There's no problem. You know, one of the things we do here is we open up our show to everybody in the community, all viewpoints, and we want people to think about a different way of looking at life. You know, we have, like I said, you've got evolutionists and you have creationists and you've got people in the middle that are trying to make up their mind. So
perfect time to attend your seminar.
There you
right,
go.
Right.
All right. This is Carl in the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. We're going to take a quick break here. News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, we just want to share with you that tomorrow and Thursday, we're not going to be here. We have a couple surprise guest hosts for you, but we'll be back Friday morning. Carl, let's go to the phones.
Robert, you're up.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, Doctor.
Yes.
Can I suggest, I'm sorry I came in late, but can I suggest for discussion and argument that God, when he created man and the earth, had not only the intention but the purpose of evolution. We have evolved ever since we've evolved with cars and bicycles, transportation. I mean, I think that God had built this in on purpose. The ability of one tree to compensate for another tree dying, the ability for the ground to make up for our mistakes or for floods. I mean, I think it's built in. I think it's inherent.
Well, there is variation within species, but the Bible indicates clearly that he created the various kinds. And there's no room in terms of what the Bible presents for transitionary forms between the various kinds.
I would agree
that there is variation within the species.
I think what Robert was talking about, though, is that we've managed to evolve, I mean, within our species and the others, in that God has made this as part of a plan.
Well, and half of the reason or proof that these scientists say, you know, of evolution are these things that God did on purpose. They're using them to say that there is no God when, in fact, God did them.
Well, sure, God's behind whatever happens because he's the creator. But
exactly. But
the how of creation is revealed to us in Scripture. And it's quite clear that the Bible says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul, or a nefesh shayim. That doesn't leave much room for evolutionary processes to result. And we have evidence for that. Come to the conference and listen to these speakers.
Hey, Robert, thanks for your phone call. We have a few other people on the line here.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. John, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Carl.
We're on a short leash here, John.
Understood. I'll make it very short. I planted firmly into the Bible myself. However, I will give it a sweet recipe for those who may have trouble with it. It's better to believe in God and find out there's not one than to not believe in God and find out there is.
I agree.
Yeah, when somebody said there's no atheists in foxholes.
Exactly.
So, anyway.
Wow.
Hey, John.
You guys have a great day.
That's what Pascal thought.
Hey, God bless.
Thanks, John.
Aloha.
Well, appreciate you being here, Doctor. And there's a million questions on this, but the Alpha Omega
Conference, the sixth annual Alpha Omega Conference on Creation and End Time Prophecy begins tomorrow at 10 o'clock on the campus of Shasta Bible College.
Well, thanks a lot.
Be there or be square.
Thank you, Doctor.
Now, like Linda said, we're not going to be here for the next couple of days. No, we weren't fired. We get to take a day off now and then. Now, what we do want to talk about, you know, on Friday we come back, is our experiences with my experience yesterday with REU. And let me tell you something. The people that helped me at REU, the customer service people, were very good. But I see some severe problems, as everybody has. But the fact is, here's what I want to talk about, is I brought in my bill the day it's due because it wasn't by 8 o'clock in the morning, they were not going to take it out of the box. I had to wait in line with 8, 10, 12 other people just to pay my bill instead of being able to hand off our check. That's one of the things we're going to talk about there. So, and a couple other things, too, is how this could be fixed, and how this could be fixed with just a stroke of the pen. It's not the customer service people. It goes way above them. And, you know, as we've talked about with REU, with the committee and the great work the committee's doing, but it still goes back to the city council. The city council has the ability to make these changes. They just don't want to.
We'll see you back on Friday.
That's right. Carl and the Bot. Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?